All right, so we are going to start. Tom, it is with true bittersweet feelings that I lead this charge to you on this very special day. We have worked and planned together, led children's messages together, and so very much more. You have always allowed me to explore my ministry to children and youth with good counsel, advice, and support. For the 9 years I have been here, we have shared the commitment to making this church a spiritual home and a true community for so many children and youth. It has been a real pleasure to share this ministry with you. On this day that begins your leave-taking from us, we want to honor your commitment to our FPC children and youth by a special charge for them. And Griffin has something that he's going to give you. And then the senior youth together, if the senior... Yeah. And this is special in particular because Griffin was the very first child that Tom dedicated.
All right. For those of you who are guests, when we dedicate our children here, among the things we give them is this little wooden boat, because it's a symbol of how we wish you smooth sailing and that this church is here to help you sail that boat if the seas are rough. So it's a very meaningful presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
And then if all the senior youth will join together in reading the charge to Tom, I'll start you and then you can continue. Today, we as youth, this boat. You gave it to many of us as we began our life journey here at FPC. We ask you that you take it with you as you traverse away from us. May it remind you of how all life passages are interconnected and that your influence will continue to guide us as we navigate our own life journeys. We encourage you to explore new and varied pathways on your journeys through the rest of your life, remembering that you will always have an anchor here at FPC. And then from the junior youth, we have some seeds. And then if the junior youth can join together to read their passage. Tom, we give you these flower seeds. Junior youth, join in, please. Flowers have been such a strong part of our church life here at FPC. We receive them at dedications. When we become members, we plant them in the fall in honor of those who have passed, and we share them at our beautiful flower communion. Today, we want you to take these seeds to your new home and plant them, remembering all of the times you shared flowers with others here at FPC in so many ways. We also want you to remember how you helped to raise all of us, the children and youth here at FPC, by tending to us as one tends to a flower. You have grown our spirits as Unitarian Universalists, watered our faith and our beliefs, and helped us bloom into children and youth that truly are helping and will continue to help make the world a better place. And then from the children, we have a special gift. And this is something that has never been given here, as far as I know. And then for all the kids that want to, if you can join me nice and loud in reading what were the words that we want to say to Tom before he leaves us. Today, Reverend Tom, we give you this pinwheel. This pinwheel shows how much your time with us has been filled with smiles and joy. We loved your messages for all ages, your hats at the mummers' play, your jokes, and your willingness to listen to us when we wanted to share. We want you to remember to have joy and fun in the years ahead. Remember to try new things and always take time to play and enjoy life. And if all the kids and youth can join together for the last line, take these gifts, simple as they may be, as a true sign of our wish for you to enjoy the new path that you are taking. Thank you for being our minister. We will miss you.
morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I am John Hickey, friend and compatriot of Tom's, and I'm delighted to be here and to share in your celebration of his ministry. I'm not so delighted that he and Malcolm are moving to the other side of that threatened new wall, but then Tom assures me that his new hacienda down there is big enough to accommodate all of his friends, and I, for one, plan to take him up on that. I just hope he and Malcolm keep their papers in order so that they can come back and visit us. In addition to being friends, Tom and I have had a number of shared undertakings in our ministries. Tom first recruited me for the Partakers organization, working to provide educational opportunities to those in prison. I then recruited Tom as a volunteer and then as a board member for the UU Urban Ministry. There's not much doubt about it, I got the better of that bargain. The Urban Ministry has not always been on the firm footing that it is now. We went through some pretty rocky times, and the ministry really owes a great deal to the hard work and the good judgment and the wisdom of Tom, as well as the support of this church and many others like it. Tom had originally helped me through the discernment process for going into community ministry and then to take the senior minister executive director job at the Urban Ministry. Discernment is one of those words we learn to use at divinity school. It means making up your mind when you really have no idea what you're doing. If you're lucky, you find some spiritual guidance. And if you're really lucky, you have a friend and compatriot help you through the process. I was really lucky. I first met Tom at the orientation for new students at Divinity School. I think it was in the fall of 1999. I'm not quite sure. We quickly discovered that we had several things in common. First, of course, was that we were a bit older than the average first-year student. This was a second career for both of us. And while we brought a certain sense of worldly experience with us, I won't go so far as to say smugness, we were reminded rather quickly that there is also an art and a skill to being a student. And for most of that, we had to relearn it. We also discovered that we were both practicing lawyers in our prior careers, different kinds of law for sure, but each of us had gone through that grueling Socratic teaching method, developing critical thinking skills by unending cross-examination. Divinity School expected a lighter touch. From being the first to raise your hand in a law school class, yes, you had to compete even to answer the question in law school, to after you, no, please, after you. I can only say that to have such a keen sense of fairness as Tom does, and to be so naturally adept and genuine at pastoral care, it was something he had before and kept in spite of law school. What is it, you might ask, that would lead a lawyer to go to divinity school? Well, it's a little late for you all to ask that question. You might have asked it at the time of your original search committee. But of course, theology invites the same kind of critical thinking that the secular law invites. There's a reason why churches have canon lawyers for their canon laws. In the Ten Commandments, we are admonished, thou shalt not kill. The next chapter then says, go into Canaan and kill everybody in it. Now, be honest with me. Wouldn't you love to hear Tom preach on reconciling those two thoughts? But enough poking fun. The real point, beyond abstract theology and beyond the law, for me, at the heart of Tom's ministry, has been an abiding commitment to justice. Whether from his own life experience, from the law, or from his ministerial training, this is a man who brings an acute sensitivity to right and wrong and to fairness to his ministry. Whether that ministry is from the pulpit, providing pastoral care and spiritual guidance in his personal interactions or in his nonprofit commitments, it is central to the man and it has been central to his ministry. It is what he embodies for me as a friend and colleague, and I suspect for you all as well. I am sure many of you will miss his regular presence, that light of Reverend Tom, but take some comfort in knowing that his commitment to justice, that part of his essential self, that light, goes with him wherever he goes. May Tom and Malcolm move into this next phase in their lives with our very best wishes and our blessings. Thank you.
Tom, it has been a joy to serve with you on the board of the UU Urban Ministry. And to be invited here today to share in this opportunity to bid you farewell is a real honor. So thank you all very much for the invitation to be here. I also wanted to spend a second to thank you all, too, for your support of the Urban Ministry, or as Tom probably has reminded you on many occasions, your Urban Ministry. Your financial support and your many hours of volunteer work have changed many, many lives, and I hope that over the years to come that we'll continue to see you down in Roxbury, even without your fearless leader. How lovely and appropriate that you have included the mission statement of the Urban Ministry in your order of service today. And I say appropriate because Tom played a critical role in his 11 years at the Urban Ministry on the board. He was the voice who always brought us back, whether we were talking about a strategic decision, a financial decision, a programmatic change, he always brought us back to the fundamental question, does this further our mission? And is it consistent with the UU values and principles? When I first heard Tom bring the conversation back to those fundamental questions, I was a newbie on the board. And I thought to myself, I'm going to like this guy. And you know, I did, and I still do. Tom, you and I made a great team. I was a planner and focused on executing a plan. Tom, as you know, is a great visionary. And when I grow up, I want to be more like you. The first time I think we really teamed up together was in a meeting house task force. And if you're not familiar with the campus where the Urban Ministry is in Roxbury, it is three adjoining buildings. In the center, there's the Center for Education and Justice. That's where our classrooms are, the computer labs, our offices. It's really the hub of the work we do in Roxbury. On one side is Putnam Chapel, where we have receptions and other social events. It's where we offer dinner to our students who are in the after-school program. And then on the other side is the Crown Jewel, an 1804 meeting house. Now, this meeting house was mothballed, I would say, for many, many decades. It was too expensive to heat in the winter, too musty to use in the summer. And there were lots of varying opinions on whether or not we should invest in bringing it back to life. A lot of debate because our programs obviously needed as much financial support as we could give them. And the question was, what do we do with this deteriorating building? Well, Tom led a working group to think differently about the value of the meeting house to the community that we serve in Roxbury. He and the group, and eventually the board, envisioned a community gathering place for interfaith dialogue, for concerts, for forums on critical issues such as racism and inequality, and many other celebrations of our shared commitment to social justice. And I'm happy to say today it is just that. It is the home of a lecture series on racism. It has hosted a community debate about schools in Roxbury. It is the site of an annual Handel and Haydn concert. It has hosted the Boston Children's Chorus and the Boston Symphony Orchestra. And best of all, Boston Youth Symphony Orchestra. And best of all, it provided opportunities and continues to provide opportunities for blacks and whites and Hispanics to come together and break down the barriers that make it so hard for us to understand and respect each other as we should. And Tom, you have made that happen. Following our Meeting House effort, Tom and I teamed up on another project that greatly benefited from his vision and his passion for music. That was bringing back our 1883 Hook and Hastings organ, bringing her back to life, which is not an easy thing, as you probably know. This effort was, for me, the most exciting and rewarding opportunity to work with Tom, and I thank you again for helping to make that happen. As an aside, if you would like to witness this impact that Tom has had on our new organ, or not new organ, but newly renovated organ, we actually have a concert this afternoon at 4 o'clock. It's classical guitar and organ, and excuse the free ad here. I will be there 4 o'clock, sitting in the pews, listening to the music, perhaps shedding a tear or two as I contemplate the urban ministry without Tom. And I welcome you to join me. Now, in the hopes that it will keep us near and dear to your heart, Tom, I would like to present to you, on behalf of the Board of the Urban Ministry, a photograph of the interior of the Meeting House highlighting the Hook and Hastings organ. And it has an inscription that says, "Wishing you abundant music in your journey from your friends at the UU Urban Ministry."
And we invite Selectman Tom Ryan up. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Tom Ryan. I'm one of the five selectmen here in town, and I am very pleased to be here today. And on behalf of myself and the Stowe Board of Selectmen, I'd like to thank the congregation of the First Parish Church, Reverend Graziello, President Lehrer, Music Director Fitzer, for inviting me here today to honor the Reverend Graziello for his 15 years of service to the congregation and to the town of Stowe. From the founding of Stowe back in 1683 to the present day, the First Parish Church and their ministers have been an integral part of the Stowe community. Reverend Graziello has provided 15 years of leadership to your congregation and to the town in keeping with the over 300 years of proud history of the First Parish Church. Thank you, Reverend Graziello. On behalf of the Board of Selectmen of the town of Stowe, we look forward to continuing with the relationship with the First Parish Church and their ministers that started over 300 years ago and remains vibrant today. The Board of Selectmen have issued the following proclamation in tribute to Tom Graziello in recognition for his 15 years of service. A proclamation in tribute to the Reverend Tom Graziello. On this, the 23rd day of May 2017, the Stowe Board of Selectmen hereby expresses its sincere appreciation to Reverend Tom Graziello for his 15 years of service as a minister of the First Parish Church of Stowe and Acton and his contributions to the quality of life and community connections in Stowe. Called by the First Parish Church to be their minister in April 2002, Tom began work that summer in conjunction a congregation drawn not only from Stowe and Acton, but from many surrounding communities as well. Tom initiated small group ministry, lay ministry programs, and the Caring Connection Network to build bonds between parish members and the community at large, started Vesper services, and helped the growing parish transition to two Sunday services over the course of his ministry. With a strong commitment to social justice, he reorganized and brought new social justice initiatives to the parish and hosted forums on social justice issues for the community. He took a lead role in the parish Connector Project and the church's capital campaign. Throughout his tenure, he has been welcoming, involved, yet thoughtful and centering figure in the church and the community, attentive to all the details, yet able to keep the whole picture in mind. The Board of Selectmen takes this opportunity to commend Tom for his service and dedication to his parishioners and his contributions to the cultivation of a welcoming, vibrant, and caring community here in Stowe, and offers him our best wishes in his happy retirement.
We now invite to the pulpit Representative Kate Hogan and Senator Jamie Eldridge.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for allowing me to be part of this special ceremony to pay tribute to Tom Graziello. And I say Tom because, Tom, I don't think I ever called you Reverend in your 15 years as minister. That's good. Now you know what kind of relationship we have, which is truly as friends. Representative Hogan and I have a proclamation here to read, but I just wanted to say, since we've known each other so well, and of course the First Parish Church of Stowe and Acton includes so many constituents in my district, is that I really, really do just want to pay incredible tribute to your leadership on so many social justice issues. And the Unitarian Church, of course, is known statewide for being a leader, but I really would say that the First Parish of Stowe and Acton has gone above and beyond with a lot of the series that you've had, your willingness to be outspoken on civil rights for all people, for criminal justice reform, and for immigrant rights. And I remember very vividly the forum that you helped organize, having immigrants come here to the church and talk about their stories. So I really want to appreciate your leadership on these issues, and I really hope you realize those have a direct impact on the policies and issues that we advocate for at the State House. And so your words, your actions have really translated into real power that's affected the lives of people throughout Massachusetts. The proclamation that I have, that we have, recognizing, this is the first time I'll say it, Reverend Thomas Rosiello for his service to the First Parish Church of Stowe and Acton. Whereas the esteemed Reverend Thomas Rosiello retired from the First Parish Church of Stowe and Acton on June 30th, 2017, and whereas Reverend Tom Rosiello served as minister of the First Parish Church of Stowe and Acton for 15 years, and whereas Reverend Thomas Rosiello was a dedicated member of the First Parish Church of Stowe and Acton, spearheading a number of programs and initiatives during his tenure as minister, such as transitioning the church to two services, starting the small group ministry program and Vesper services, reorganizing the church's social justice work and bringing several new social justice initiatives to the church, such as the Unitarian Universalist Urban Ministry, hosting community forums on timely social justice issues, initiating the Caring Connection Network and Lay Ministry Program, reviving the church's partner church connection, teaching many courses for both church members and the greater community, starting the intern ministry forum program at the church and mentoring field education students and intern ministers, and taking a lead in both the connector building design and the capital campaign, and...
If I might just say a word, Jamie has very eloquently stated how important both you, Reverend, and the Universalist Unitarian Church is to our community. I feel whenever I go out from my communities that what the words I hear from my constituents and the people that I serve are always those of common sense, kindness, and understanding. And I feel that that is part and parcel of this church, this community, and you folks. And I am just so very grateful for the service and the kind of leadership that you have provided as a reverend, because more than anything, this area and this church creates a kind of community that you might not find other places. It is very rare. And you, Reverend, are rare indeed. Whereas, in addition to leaving his mark on the First Parish Church of Stowe and Acton, Reverend Thomas Rosiello further served his community through his involvement with the Unitarian Universalist Urban Ministry Board, Harvard Divinity School, the Unitarian Universalist Ministers Association, the Board of Directors of Partakers and Interfaith Prison Ministry, the boards of community music organizations, and the Stowe, Acton, Boxborough Interfaith Clergy Association for his entire tenure as minister at First Parish Church of Stowe and Acton. Reverend Rosiello has made a profound impact on his peers, his congregation, and his community, winning the admiration and gratitude of countless individuals who benefited from his leadership. Therefore, be it resolved that the members of the Massachusetts House of Representatives and Senate hereby join with the members of the First Parish Church of Stowe and Acton in recognizing Reverend Thomas Rosiello for his years of dedicated service to the church and to extend to him their best wishes for continued success in all his future endeavors. Thank you so much for your kind service, Reverend.
Thank you.
Tom, under your ministry, this congregation has expanded our community, our programming, our campus, and most of all, our spirit. Saying goodbye is never easy, and in this case, it feels particularly difficult. And yet we know that the time has come for you and Malcolm to enjoy retirement, and in your characteristically thorough way, you have prepared us all well for the next step in our journey. We are, however, a clever lot, and so we've come up with a way to both say goodbye and also to create a permanent bond between us. At our May 12th annual meeting, the congregation voted unanimously to bestow upon you the title of Minister Emeritus, effective today, June 4th, 2017. Will you join us up here, please, Tom? I'm going to read the words of the resolution that we voted on, a lot more whereases and resolves. According to the Unitarian Universalist Association of Congregations, Minister Emeritus Emerita Policies and Procedures, the title Minister Emeritus or Minister Emerita is granted to honor long and meritorious service to a congregation where the minister has given devoted and competent ministerial leadership. In recognition and deep appreciation of the contribution that Reverend Thomas Rossiello has made to the growth and vitality of the First Parish Church of Stowe and Acton over the last 15 years, we hereby resolve that he be granted the designation of Minister Emeritus. Whereas he has served the congregation with compassion, intelligence, and beautiful music, as well as sensitivity to the multiplicity of needs and wishes of a diverse congregation, ministering to members and friends of the congregation in our joys and our grief, and walking with us through the phases of our lives and the lives of our children. He has inspired the congregation to seek transformation in our hearts, our congregation, our campus, our community, and our world. Whereas he has represented the congregation and the values and principles of Unitarian Universalism in the larger community, speaking out on issues of social justice, leading initiatives to recognize the rights and dignity of all persons, and putting his beliefs into action in his journey. Therefore, be it resolved that Reverend Thomas Rossiello be granted designation of Minister Emeritus effective on the fourth day of June 2017, and be it also resolved that this designation shall be announced to the Unitarian Universalist Association, published in the UU World, and otherwise communicated to the greater Unitarian Universalist community, approved this 12th day of May 2017 by the members of the First Parish Church of Stowe and Acton. And don't worry, Tom. As you know, being Minister Emeritus recognizes your past contributions and the bond between this congregation and you, but neither requires or expects any ongoing service. So, Rick.
Thanks, Linda. So we have to actually bestow this Minister Emeritus title on Tom. So I'd like to ask those present who are current members of the Committee on Ministry or who during Tom's tenure have served on the Committee on Ministry to please stand. And then will all present who are serving or who have served as a lay minister please stand? Will all those who have participated in small group ministry, the Caring Connection, or spiritual conversations please stand? Will all those who have ministered to our children and youth as teachers, mentors, or group leaders please stand? Will all those who have ministered to any other member of this congregation, perhaps in the form of a letter, a hug, or an encouraging word, please stand? Okay, and if there's anybody who's not standing, will anybody who's a member or friend of this congregation or who has joined us today as guests, please stand as ministers to this community. All right, now how do we bestow? Please raise your hands, all. Tom, the title of Minister Emeritus is bestowed upon you by all of those who are present here and by other members of this congregation who are unable to be here today. We understand that with your retirement and in your role of Minister Emeritus, you will enter into a continuing but changed relationship with FPC, one where, in particular over the next few years, your ministry will be one of absence, which will allow the church to grow in our process of selecting a new settled minister and for you to successfully transition into your retirement. Please know that we love you, we'll miss you, and we are grateful that we will have this ongoing bond with you as our Minister Emeritus. Please join us in giving Tom a round of applause and thank him for his service.
Amen.
What can I say after all of this here today, not just this service here today, but after the past 15 years? There really is only one word I can say from the deepest part of my heart, and that is thank you. And as I complete my tenure as your minister, there are many emotions and feelings in my heart, but the overriding emotion is really one of gratitude. So let me start there. To those who secretly put all this service together today and the other festivities of the day, I thank you. I probably didn't make it easy. I can't tell you how many rooms I walked into with something going on and the conversation stopped. And how many people I walked up to and they said I couldn't participate in what they were talking about. And how things were being smuggled into the building. And all of that. So I probably made it hard for you. But you did an incredible job of keeping so much of this secret. In fact, you did so well that I'm not even sure who to thank for all of it. But I know Mike Fitzer and Rick King were very involved in organizing it. And I really want to thank, first of all those who spoke today, John and Chris and without titles, Tom, Kate, and Jamie. And all of, and Linda, of course, and Rick. Thank you so much for your words. And as you know, for me, there is no worship without music. So thank you so much for all the beautiful music. And thank you to the staff and the board and the gardeners and the organizers and the donors who have all made this possible. I will always remember this day with great joy. But my gratitude is for much more than this day. It's for the 15 years. And let me start by thanking the staff, not just the present staff, because I see some of the past staff here as well as I look out. For all of you that I've had the pleasure of working with, I know I can be a trying boss at times, challenging perhaps, but I appreciate all your efforts, and I truly appreciate your willingness to come together and work as a team. It's been a great joy for me to have this wonderful staff to work with, and I want to start there. And then I want to thank all the volunteer leaders. You know, I've espoused from day one that the best combination of church leadership is strong lay leadership and strong ministerial leadership. And I've just been amazed at the number of people who volunteer in leadership positions and who do so with incredible amounts of gifts of their time. We have positions in this church that no other church I know of is handled by volunteers. Now, that doesn't mean we can do everything that way, but to have functions like the bookkeeping and the checkbook and those kinds of things actually beautifully handled is amazing. It really is quite amazing that those things happen in that way. So thank you, and thank you for all your leadership. I mean, sometimes I'm the one that's up front, but a lot of the leadership is coming from other places. So thank you for that. And thank you for those who shared in doing the work of this ministry. This church is much too big for one minister to actually meet the ministerial demands that are in this congregation on a basis. And I've been blessed that so many of you have helped as lay ministers or Caring Connection coordinators or just Caring Connection volunteers, lay ministers who have visited people in the hospital, visited people at home, check my phone messages every day when I'm away and return my calls. I mean, there's a lot of work that these people have done through the years to make the ministry that you receive possible. And most of it you don't see unless you're a beneficiary of that ministry. And I want to really thank them. And I want to thank all of you who participated in the Caring Connection Network. We've got a system going here. I know when you see that email that says from the minister, you say another card, another phone call, right? But this, the beautiful connection of people always responding to each other when times are difficult or even when times are joyous. I can't tell you how many people have said to me, receiving 30 or 40 cards when they experienced a loss from people in the church or when they were ill made them feel in such a better place. And that is all of our ministry, and you are all essential to that. But I think most of all, I want to thank all of you who have shared your life with me, good times and bad times. Over the past few weeks, I've actually been cleaning out things, and I've been going through literally boxes of cards and notes that I received from you that start out with thank you for this or thank you for that. Some of them are touching beyond belief, and I appreciate every one of them. But I honestly feel that I'm the one who should be saying thank you. It's been an honor and a privilege to be with so many of you in both good times and in tough times. The trust that you have had in me and to share with me is something for which I will forever be profoundly grateful. You know, there have been lots of wonderful public moments in for celebration in this ministry. But the truth is that some of the high points for me in my ministry, you wouldn't even, most of you wouldn't know about. They're the times when I actually feel like I really did something in the moment for someone when they were in a difficult place. And that's a feeling that's, some of those are the most memorable moments. Sometimes it's just showing up when there's really nothing you can say, but just being there. And as I look out at all of you, I think about how much I know about your lives. The joys, the pain, the struggle. So many of you have shared that with me, and it's a trust. I will always hold it in sacred trust. Actually, somebody asked me just a couple of weeks ago if I passed on those secrets to the next minister. You can relax. The answer is no. The confidence is you shared with me, and there have been some doozies. They remain confidential, and you get a fresh start with the next minister. I also want to thank the children and youth who brought such joy to my life and to this community. You know, at a time when most of our churches can count the number of kids they have on their fingers, if you look at our RE registration, you'd need 25 hands of fingers to count our kids. That's pretty amazing. I'm grateful for what our kids bring to us in worship and for the opportunity I've had to teach and share and to learn from them. As I mentioned when Griffin was up here, the first child that I dedicated when I came to this church just completed the coming of age program. And it's kind of a poignant reminder that it has been my joy to be the minister of this church for a generation. So it's in gratitude that I want to share just a couple of parting thoughts. I wrote and threw away so many things here that and I finally said to myself, if you haven't preached it yet, it's too late. But I do want to share just a couple of thoughts. And as is often the case for me, and you all know this, often what inspires me in my preaching and in my speaking is the music in our worship service. And Mike picked some of my favorite anthems and hymns for this service. Each of those speak to me for different reasons. But I think the one that captures the thought that I really want to leave with you is the one that the choir sang so beautifully at the offertory. I want you to hear a few of those words from that anthem again. The promise of living with hope and thanksgiving is born in our loving our friends and our labor. The promise of growing with faith and with knowing is born of our sharing our love with our neighbor. The promise of living, the promise of growing, is labor and sharing and loving. I believe that those words of Horace Everett that Aaron Copland so magnificently set to music capture what this congregation is and must always be about. That is, it must be a place of promise, a promise that's passed down from generation to generation, one that reminds us that we find the good life, the life worth living, the spirit-filled life, not on our own, but in deep human connections. We realize that the promise of living with love and thanksgiving when we serve the needs of our community, when we stand for what's right and just, when we share our love with our neighbor. This is a place of making real the promise of living, and that is what every church should be. So much is possible, and we believe that we, through our love and our labor, have the power to make the possible real. That's a pretty bold statement, yet it is the very cornerstone of our faith. Our underlying theologies may vary, but this is the crux of our common belief. Very simply, when we work together for what's right, when we share with each other and all those in need, when we do so from a place of real love, then we grow as an individual, our lives are enriched, we become the person we want to be, and as a church, we grow in numbers, we grow in spiritual depth, we grow in our bonds to each other, and we grow in our aspiration for a more fair and just world. From day one, I have believed that this church was a place of great promise. You might remember the same anthem was sung at my installation at my request. It is the striving to realize the promise of living that I hope has characterized my 15 years of ministry with you, and I hope will characterize this congregation long into the future. People will come and go. Ministers will come and go. As that last anthem, the choir, and Stanley so beautifully sang, life calls us on. It calls me, and it calls you. Our relationship will change, but the bigger picture will not. I am truly honored to be your minister emeritus, and over time, what that relationship will look like will evolve. But it's time for us to part for a while, so that you can move towards creating the same wonderful bond with a new minister that I have enjoyed. Change is never easy, but in those famous words of Ecclesiastes, for everything there's a season and a time for every matter under the sun. And this is the right time for change at FPC. I'm so blessed to be leaving this position. It's what I feel it's the top of my game, and when the church is also in a great place. It's really the right time for both of us. And it is love that calls us on. I want you to know that I will always hold every one of you in my heart. And I will always remember these extraordinary 15 years. I look forward to a great future for this church, with a minister who I am sure will love you as much as I do. Thank you for what you have done for each other, for the community, for the world, and thank you for the many, many ways you have blessed my life. You can stay standing and just pick up your hymnal. We're going to conclude with what is one of my favorite hymns, and it's been a favorite hymn since I was a child. And the truth is, I have sung it with all sorts of theologically different texts to it. But the one thing that remained true was that all the alleluias were always there. It's the hymn in our hymnal which has the most alleluias, and I think, therefore, on a day of celebration, it's the one we should sing. Hymn number 203, All Creatures of the Earth and Sky. Sky, come, kindred lips, your voice is high. Alleluia, alleluia. Bright burning sun with golden beam, soft shining moon with silver gleam. Alleluia, alleluia. Sail in heaven along. Alleluia, alleluia. Fair rising morn in praise rejoice. High stars of evening find a voice. Alleluia, alleluia. May the love overcomes all differences, which heals all wounds, which puts to flight all fears, which reconciles all who are separated, be in us and among us this day and forevermore. Amen.